The Grey Automobile, Moonlit Tales of the Macabre, Small Bites, Book 18. Written by Alexander Grin. Narrated by Fred Wolinski. 1. On July 16th, in the evening, I went to the cinema to chase away an unpleasant impression lingering after my last conversation with Corrida. I saw her crossing the boulevard. Even from the distance, I recognized her sweeping gait and her habit to swing her left arm. I bowed, trying to find a shadow of welcome in her large eyes, tinged with a somewhat surprised expression, and peering sternly at me from under the proud arch of her hat. I turned and walked with her. She walked swiftly, making no attempt to match my steps, and occasionally glancing in my direction, but past me. I noticed passerbys frequently looking at her, and enjoyed it. Some of them probably think we are husband and wife, and envy me. I became so absorbed in developing this idea, I did not hear Corrida's words addressed to me until she shouted, "What's wrong? You are so absent-minded." I replied, "I am absent-minded only because I am walking with you. No other presence diverts me as much, or fills me with deep, ancient music of life's fullness and utter serenity." She did not appear to be very pleased with my answer, because she asked, "When will you finish your invention?" "It's a secret," I said. "I trust you more than anyone else, but I do not trust myself." "What does that mean?" "Merely that an imprecise explanation of my idea, still quite foggy in many of its aspects, might harm my work." "A thousand-and-second riddle of Ebenezer Sidney," Corrida noted. "Explain to me, at least, what you mean by an imprecise explanation." "Very well. We remember best the words we ourselves utter. If these words describe something coveted, they must correspond precisely to the facts and feelings which brought them forth. Otherwise, our memory, or impression, becomes distorted. The tinge of distortion remains for a long time, if not forever. That is why complex phenomena must not be explained haphazardly, especially if they are yet to take place. This would introduce confusion into the very process of developing the idea." She listened to my tirade with a pleasant expression, but also with some unease. I felt my company was becoming increasingly burdensome to her. We were silent. I did not know whether I should say goodbye or keep walking with her. I saw no encouragement to do the latter. On the contrary, Corrida's face looked as if she was walking alone. Finally, she said, "My brother gave me a new Excelsior. A large company is going on a trip in 2 days. It is going to be a real high-speed journey. I am planning to join them. Would you like me to take you with me?" "No," I said firmly, although I suppose she must have heard the acute pain with which the word was uttered. Not wishing to appear rude, I added, "You know how much I hate this kind of sport." I almost said, "these cars," but preferred a more generalized term. "But why?" "At one point I spoke of this extensively in your presence," I said, "and brought forth much laughter, too much, in fact, which I have no desire to hear for the second time." "You puzzle me most exceedingly." She stopped by an entrance to a store, glanced at the sign for a fashion shop with squinted eyes, and I realized she was tired of me. The sign was only an excuse. "Yes, you puzzle me, Sidney, and I think it's only the poor state of your nerves that's causing you to feel such hatred toward a vehicle." She laughed. "Farewell." I kissed her hand and left quickly, to keep from catching this woman in the midst of her treachery. She may have walked out right away without looking to see whether I was.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?